Well, we have some hotter temperatures and higher humidity gradually returning over the next couple of days. And because of that, at least a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms. But for those people that still have to tarp their roofs, get any other post-Irma cleanup taken care of, the showers and storms will at least be widely scattered for today and really not all that widespread yet tomorrow. Less than a quarter of the area gets rain today, less than half the area tomorrow. But any storms that develop will produce locally heavy downpours. So a little bit of a pattern change again now. It's still pretty typical for the middle of September to be talking about afternoon storms. And, of course, heat and humidity, too, which will be tough on those folks still without power and without air conditioning. So we're looking at highs today and tomorrow in the upper 80s to around 90 degrees. And the comfortable nighttime lows that we had this morning in the 60s are gradually going to be getting a little bit hotter. And then by Friday and Saturday, the afternoon storms become a little more numerous and a little more problematic. But by then, hopefully we've had enough time to get things pretty well tarped up at the very least, and many spots get at least some rain those 2 days. But then we go back into a little bit of a drier pattern Sunday and Monday as a northeasterly surface flow develops that brings in at least somewhat drier air. It gets a little bit more comfortable, and that would be just in time for the Jags game. First home opener of the season at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Looking at a sky that'll be partly sunny. There is still the chance for a shower, too. Right now it doesn't look like a lot. I'll continue to refine that forecast and temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. So yes, it'll be hot, but it's about typical for the middle of September. And then tracking your tropics, we have Jose out over the Atlantic, and it is sitting north and northeast of the Lesser Antilles. As expected, it's in the process of doing a loop, so it'll move to the southeast and the south and the west and then curve on out to the northwest. It still looks like a storm that stays well east of Jacksonville in Florida, but I'm still not sure that it's necessarily all clear yet for the upper part of the U.S. East Coast, anywhere from, say, Virginia to Chesapeake Bay, give or take. It looks at the moment like it'll recurve and head back out into the northwest Atlantic, but still a little bit too close for comfort in some cases there, right along the coast to the north of Jacksonville, but away from our listening area. So we'll call for just some swells, some waves coming in off of Jose, even though it'll be well to the east, hundreds of miles to the east. A little bit of a swell this weekend and a little bit of a heightened rip current risk, but it doesn't look like anything of real great consequence. Now, I'll tell you what, the water is still very, very warm from the Central Atlantic to the Caribbean to the Gulf of Mexico, and we're only, goodness, about 3 or 4 days beyond the peak of the hurricane season, which climatologically is September 10th. So we've got a ways to go yet before we can sound the all clear as far as the tropics are concerned, and what looks like it'll be probably a pretty active season deep into the typical hurricane season, which doesn't usually end until end of November officially, and we're probably looking at a pretty active yet 4, maybe 5 weeks ahead. So we've got a ways to go. We'll keep an eye on things, and there's certainly nothing imminent right now. A pretty strong tropical wave over the far eastern Atlantic does have some potential, though, to at least gradually develop. And as far as Irma is concerned, the last advisory was issued by the National Hurricane Center Tuesday morning. It is still spinning, however, over the Tennessee Valley. You can easily make it out on satellite photographs. Remarkable, really. It's kind of combined with an upper level system and is churning over the Tennessee and Ohio valleys with some showers. It's certainly not producing the kind of rain and severe weather that it has the previous days, but it's still a detectable system on the satellite photographs. Just some quick numbers on Irma. The 185-mile winds that was a Cat 5, of course, for 37 hours is a record for any tropical cyclone on Earth. Never before, even any typhoons, which are typically much bigger than the Atlantic storms, it's 185-mile-an-hour winds for 37 hours. That's a record for tropical cyclone. It was a hurricane for 12 days with the first Hurricane Center advisory on August 30th, the last one on September 12th. It came off the coast of Africa on August 28th. So another long-track system, not unlike Matthew of last year, but, of course, a few weeks earlier. It was a Category 3 or stronger storm for 8.5 days. That's the second longest on record. Only Ivan in 2004 beat that record, and that then hit the Florida Panhandle. And that's the storm that moved the Interstate 10 bridge, completely compromised it, destroyed it in spots, and you couldn't get to Pensacola across the bay there for a while on Interstate 10. And Irma was the first Cat 5 to hit the Bahamas since 1992. That was Hurricane Andrew. And it's the third year in a row that a Cat 3 or stronger hurricane has hit the Bahamas. And then the strongest hurricane to ever hit any part of the Leeward Islands was Hurricane Irma as a Cat 5. In fact, they're still doing search and recovery in parts of the U.S. Virgin Islands. Most severe flood on record, of course, on the St. Johns River in Jacksonville, going back to at least 1854. It was the first Cat 5 to hit Cuba since 1924, and it recorded the 10th lowest air pressure of 914 millibars on record. With all your weather all the time, I'm Chief Meteorologist Mike Burrish from the CBS 47 at Fox 30 Action News Jack's First Alert Weather Center for News 104.5 WOKV.